most of us aren't willing to do what it takes to be able to do that. So we just enjoy Brother Ryan play. And open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 10, Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, again for the good singing. God, it's good to worship you. It's good to worship you together. Lord, thinking of heaven and laying aside the natural fleshly nature, putting on immortality, Lord, sounds better and better each day. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this morning's message. I pray that it would be honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, I pray that you'd guide my tongue and my mind. God, the concluding thoughts that you would put together, Lord, and God, that you'd make application personally to each of us. Lord, we sure do love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 says that I may know him. So who's the him? That's worth asking, right? I don't know about you, but I like to ask questions. Because when I ask questions, I get answers, right? We want to know what's going on. So it says that I may know him. It seems important to know or answer the question, who is him? If I'm supposed to know this person, who is it? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, do I know Christ? Do I really know who he is? Do I know what he did? Do I know, now I know about him, but have I ever shook his hand? You know, a lot of times people realize how small of a world it is. In that you go somewhere, you see somebody, and it's like, I didn't know you came here. I didn't know you did this. And all of a sudden you're realizing that this person knows that person. A lot more people know each other than you knew. Maybe on Facebook you see that a friend from high school is a friend now of a person that you work with. How do you know this person? And so it is. But do we know Christ? Who is Christ? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2. This morning's message is going to explore this thought. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus Christ through the eyes of him as our mediator. And I want you to think about this thought. Jesus Christ, our mediator, not only is our purchaser, but he is also the price. That's pretty neat. That's pretty awesome if you think about that. He's the one that's purchasing, but yes, he is also the one that is the cost. What is a mediator? I'll read you a definition. Mediator is one whose office is to reconcile such parties as are at variance. That's the definition of a mediator. It's to take two people that are at odds and bring them together. Being, as it were, in the middle, betwixt both. Soliciting the cause of each to the other. Till they bring them to an agreement. That's a mediator. Joe Russo, what's the name of your lawyer? Who's your lawyer? You don't have a lawyer? Yeah, it's classified information. Plead the fifth on that. Joe has no lawyer because he has no need of a lawyer. And many a times people approach Christ with, I do not need Jesus because I do not need a mediator. I do not need anyone to go on my behalf. But as we study this morning, the need of a mediator is significant. First John chapter 2 this morning. First John chapter 2. Being, as it were, in the middle between two, soliciting the cause of each to the other. First John chapter 2. We might revisit that definition. First John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. For if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So the question then becomes, have I ever sinned? Have we ever sinned? Has anybody not sinned? No. No one has not sinned. He then says, if any man sin, can we add ladies to that? Can we define man as in all mankind? That's not just, oh, gentlemen. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a mediator. We have one that goes on our behalf. I would think one of the hardest jobs in the world to be able to pillow your head at night in peace is a defense attorney. Say, why? Because you have to defend someone that you know is guilty. Could you imagine sitting across from the table? All right, did you kill somebody? Yes, I did. All right. Well, I'm going to try and get you out of it. And that's his job. A defense attorney is to get him out of it. Now, a prosecutor, I would feel better about. I would feel better about prosecuting. Hey, if this person isn't guilty, and I bring all the evidence and all that, and they go away, and they weren't guilty, well, I can sleep well knowing that. But getting somebody off that was guilty, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ looked at you and I, and if any man sinned, what does it say? We have an advocate. We have a defense attorney. We have a mediator to go on our behalf. Because we're guilty. All of us are guilty. Jesus Christ is our middleman. I'm not going to ask, but how many of you have ever been in maybe a court situation? You don't talk to the judge. Your representative talks to the judge. He is qualified and seen by the judge through the eyes of the judge that you understand the rules, you know what is expected, and you will conduct yourself in a manner that is orderly. That's the job of the advocate or the attorney. The person that has been guilty of the crime doesn't explain to the judge their... No, they have someone speak on their behalf. But the judge recognizes the advocate. And so does the guilty party. Recognizes the authority of the mediator. Jesus Christ is our middleman. Now, the truth of the matter is that there's been a break. There's a, as we stated, all of mankind sins. So between us and the judge, now this just isn't any judge. This is the just and holy and perfect God that demands justice. Demands it. Because sin is a serious thing to God. So much so that he, well, sent his only begotten Son. But for the authority that demands justice and judgment, well, there's been a break. There's a breach. Something has gone terribly wrong in that mankind has sinned. And therefore, I became the very enemy of the judge. Imagine the judge sitting upon the throne and the vandalism, or maybe you were guilty of arson. Arson is where he burns stuff down. Joe, careful. Joe, for his birthday from my mother-in-law, got a lighter. Who gets 13-year-old boys lighters? But anyways, praise the Lord. Very good. Great. Arson. Very, very punishable crime, Jonathan Paul. And there he is. And the offender is sitting at the table, and the advocate goes and says, my client is guilty. Guilty of arson. Well, whose house did he burn down? The judge's. Oh, it's not good there. You're in trouble now. Hey, mankind, who is it that you offended so terribly? God Himself. The judge. The holy, just, perfect judge. And He demands justice. Jesus Christ is our mediator. Romans chapter... go to Hebrews 10 first. Hebrews chapter 10. Some years ago, I considered it being frugal trying to get 14 or 15 months out of a one-year vehicle inspection. That's what I'm saying. Pay for 12 months, get 15 months, that's a deal. It was around vacation Bible school time, and was driving at night to Walmart. At Walmart, they allow you to take free cardboard at night. And there it was. I was going there and getting it. And I'm coming home. It's 11:30 at night. Got a bunch of cardboard in the back of my truck. Happy. I'm driving, and all of a sudden, over at Spur, a sheriff pulls out right behind me. Pulls me over. He says, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, no. He goes, your inspection's out. It's 11:30 at night. How do you see that? So I asked him. I said, how'd you see that? It's 11:30 at night. You're 150 yards away from me. He goes, I ran your plate. Okay. He goes, your inspection is now tied to your plate. Man. Here's your ticket. Driving. I'm coming up Route 19 that night. All of a sudden, Brockport police does a U-turn behind me. Pulls me over. He's like, do you know why I pulled you over? Yes, I do. My inspection's out. Yeah. I said, I just got a ticket literally 5 minutes ago. He's like, let me see that. So I showed it to him. He goes, all right, I'm going to do you a favor and not give you another one. Do me a favor? No, do me a favor, take this one. So, you get the paper in the mail. How do you plead? That's tough. Because I know I'm guilty. But how do you plead? Not guilty. I'm hoping I get a little mercy from the judge, right? So, go to downtown Brockport, sitting in the chair, brought Sophie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just worked out schedule wise. That's how it went. Sitting there, and I'm a little nervous. I'm in the village of Brockport Town Court. Small time. My greatest offense is that I am going to have to pay $150, $200. Sophie asked me while we're sitting there. It's me and this lady that is stealing a lot of things from Walmart multiple times. Heard her story. And then there's me. And she's like, "Do you think you're going to go to jail?" I'm like, "No." And my hands are doing this. Why? Because I got to talk to the judge. I don't want to talk to the judge. It makes me really nervous. Why? Because I'm guilty. Created one. Are you guilty? And there you're standing before God Himself. And not with a $150 penalty, but the penalty is eternal damnation. The consequence, the sin. It's not town court. You are now standing before the God of eternity. And I'm guilty. I need a mediator. I need someone to go between me and Him. I need someone to reconcile us, because right now we're enemies. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said I, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Best I could do wasn't good enough. Hey, your offerings of the law are no longer acceptable. Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of our mediator, the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. The work of God, the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. His sacrifice is what appeases the judge. Not my wit, not my wisdom, not my wealth, not my works, but simply the work of Christ. Romans chapter 5. In verse 10. "For if when we were enemies," enemy. I don't know about you, but I don't like conflict. I like things to go smooth. I will, to my error, not even error, but to my, I will go to great lengths to make everything just, I just want peace. We all want peace. Even if I'm right, I just want peace. No one likes having enemies. Two boys in Brockport, or in Hamlin, made an enemy. Didn't go well. You don't want enemies. God says, "You're my enemy." If there was one that you really don't want to be at odds with, it's God the Father Himself. Because of His power, because of His abilities. And then in Romans 5:10, For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Do you see? I hope you're starting to see this. I have no way to make right with God without Christ. It's not like I can plead my cause with Him. It's not like I can say some magic word with Him and say, hey, will you make this all go away? Because I'm still a sinner. I'm still His enemy. I can't do it. But I have the opportunity to be reconciled. Remember our definition of a mediator. One whose office is to reconcile such parties as are at variance. They're against each other. And then we come across this word. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by how? The death of His Son. We were saved. You know, we use that word, saved. What am I drowning? How many times? Man, how many times have I explained to someone or asked somebody, are you saved? Saved from what? Your sin. We've been reconciled. He made it okay for us. Our mediator. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, God says that He approves His Son. Throughout towns and cities, there's courts. Just yesterday, I think Mr. Kavanaugh got sworn in as Supreme Court Justice. Is that correct? Right? Had his right hand on the Bible. I saw it. We can do a lot with Photoshop, but I'm pretty sure it was real. You know, that's the highest court in our land. There's going to be people that come in and I want an appointment with the Supreme Court. I'm sorry, you just can't do that. You have to work your way up. You have to start at small court and then you work your way up. Do they even want to hear my case? They don't just, hey, you know, Nick Russo is speeding there in Brockport. We should take a look at that. They're not bothered by that. That doesn't affect the nation. Not just anybody can come walking into the Supreme Court. They have to be approved. Not just anybody can come stand before God Himself and say, hey, on the behalf of mankind, I'm sorry, who are you? I'm your son. You're approved. Look, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. God says Jesus Christ has been approved. I will work with Him. See, He doesn't work with man. He works with His Son. And Jesus Christ, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, tells us that He is the Prince of what? Peace. What is He looking to do? He's looking to make peace between two enemies. There's people all throughout the world that hate each other. Nations that hate each other. And they try and send a delegate over to try and get the sides to talk. Innocent people are dying. People are dying on left and right. Whatever it is, the issue is, can we come up with a compromise? Can we have some peace? Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is able to take guilty sinners and make them acceptable in the eyes of a holy, righteous God. So how does that happen? Through His blood. It is the highest manifestation of God's divine wisdom, the mediator. Because he knew we can't do it on our own. So therefore, he's going to send or make a way. A way for justice and mercy to meet. The judgment of sin is born, and yet the sinner is freely pardoned. The judgment of sin is born, it's satisfied, and yet I am freely pardoned. God is pleased, God is appeased, and I'm free to go. Free from the consequences of my sin. This past week, heard about on the news that a police officer was found guilty. Doing bad things. And then he's sentenced to prison. Wouldn't it be strange? You've been found guilty, now we're going to let you go. You're guilty, sinner. But because of Jesus Christ, you can go. Not only is the judge satisfied and say, yes, that is enough because of the mediator, but now I am free. Free from the consequences of my actions. Ephesians chapter 3. We're almost done. Judgment satisfied, and I'm pardoned. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Ephesians 3:10 says this, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church of the manifold wisdom of God. Here's God's divine wisdom in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said, I got a plan. I have a way to be able to communicate with mankind, and that's Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 5, go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Look at these great verses. Can I say, the book of Hebrews is somewhat, I think people are somewhat apprehensive of diving into the book of Hebrews. Why? The very name. This doesn't apply to me. I'm not a Jew. This was written for somebody else. And then you start reading and saying, good thing, because I don't even understand what it's talking about. The book of Hebrews is about this. Jesus Christ is better than anything. I love the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is right up there with the book of John. It's Jesus Christ is divine. He exceeds man's best. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. It says this, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned by obedience. Learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Look at verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He was successful in his mediation between God and man. He was the author of eternal salvation. He was able to bring about all relief, all pardon, all peace, all mercy and grace. And it's simply through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could earn our salvation, we said it last week, it would take away the credit and the glory of God. But God did it all. I'm guilty. I'm sitting at the table in the courtroom, guilty, head down, in agony, unable to pardon myself, hopeless, no relief, Yes, guilty. I'm guilty. And Jesus Christ says, I'll pay for him. But you're not guilty. I'll pay for his crimes. Imagine if the lawyer, guilty of murder, says, Judge, I know I didn't do it, but I will take his place. No one in their right mind would do that. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. In his right mind. He authored it. I don't know how that conversation went. But he volunteered to go. Magnifies God's power. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. A verse we go to often. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only did he take away our sins, but he exchanged his righteousness to us. So now God himself is pleased with us. Not only is his judgment appeased and quenched and fulfilled, but now he's actually pleased with us, so much so that we are no longer an enemy, but an heir, his child. No judge says, I know you're guilty of this long list. Hey, let's wipe that thing away. Why don't you move into my house? I know you've done awful things to little girls and children and burned things and murdered people and stolen stuff. Hey, I got a room. That's not what judges do. Go. Serve your sentence. But that's not what God did. No, he made us his child. God would not even consider sinners without a mediator. Because we're hopeless. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We just have a couple more verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. In Ephesians 2 and verse 13. Look at verse 12. That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. What does it say? Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not only are you no longer repulsive to God, but he wants you close. Only God could do something like that. Only Jesus could do something like that. Because before he wouldn't even consider me. But now he brings me close. Why? Because of all the great? No, because of the blood of his Son. Without the mediator, there would be no communion. John chapter 8. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Without Christ, there would be no communion. There would be no fellowship. There would be no reconciliation. There would be no making right. We, without him, it says, we will die in our sins. But we have him. Joe, who's your lawyer? Jesus Christ. I would like to have him go on my behalf. I would like for him to speak for me. Because he is the only one that can appease a just God. Let's all stand. Verse 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your mediator, He is not your advocate, there is no time or place when He is paid for your sins. Say, you just showed me all the verses. He's that to everybody. Did you see in John 8? If you don't ask Him to, if you don't believe it, you'll die in your sins. You need Him. Many of us do not have our own personal lawyers. Number one, they're shady. Number two, they're expensive. But you need an advocate. You need a mediator for your sin to make right with the judge. If you've never made right with the judge, in a minute, the music's going to play. Why don't you come forward and allow someone to show you from the Scriptures how to be saved? Saved from what? Your sin. We're all guilty. Christian, if you're here today, we read this verse in Romans. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How about you start living like that? How about we take that mediator and not just use him for that one day, but allow him to change our life, not just our soul. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation. Now, whatever it is that you spoke to hearts about, I pray that you would, Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased with the next few moments. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, maybe you just want to come and thank Him. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't get to the Father without Christ. But He made a way. If you're here today and you're not saved, do you allow someone to show you from the Scriptures?